I am all that God says I am. My plea to him, my prayer to him, is that he may give me a clean heart. A clean heart, so that I can be used by him. I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Just give me a clean heart. Lord, what we're really asking is that you would fix us. Fix us for the journey. Fix us that our faith may be in thee. Fix us so that our praise may be of thee. Bless now, our God, the spoken word. Take me out of self and place me in your righteousness, that those who hear my voice may hear the voice of God speaking through me. Those who have the gift of vision, that they would not see me, but the cross of Christ. Christ and him crucified.
Yes, yes.
Dead, buried, and risen from the dead. Thank you for the Christ of our salvation. Thank you, our God, for your Son Jesus, who called you Father and said to the world and to us, my Father and I are one. So we thank you for the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May your Spirit dwell in the preaching, that when the service has been completed, we will remember the songs of Zion. We will remember the honoring of Deacon Martin. We will honor and remember the prayers of the saints.
Yes.
But may we also remember with all of our remembrance the preaching of the gospel. Thank you again for being God all by yourself, the God of grace, the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of compassion.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for the promise that you will come back and receive us unto yourself. And so because of your love,
yes,
your salvation, we say amen,
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 amen, and shout hallelujah.
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 To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Thank you. We continue our preaching from Matthew chapter 5. We know it as the Beatitudes. We began with that first verse and read through the 8th verse. Jesus has just completed ministry of healing. ministry of proclamation, of preaching. And now he gathers with his disciples. Great multitude had followed him. You see that in that 25th verse of the 4th chapter. Now he finds himself with his disciples. Seeing the multitude, he went up unto a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Can I read it like this? Blessed are they that do not pretend, for they shall see God. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, be yourself. You don't have to pretend. Be yourself. The Platters used to sing a song entitled The Great Pretender. Deacon Fairbanks probably sung that song when he was in the world. He already gone. Maybe thought the pastor was going to call on him to sing that. Maybe Angelique can sing that song. Maybe Tiffany can sing that song. But I know I used to love to hear I'm the Great Pretender. Listen to the lyrics. Oh, yes. I'm the great pretender, pretending, see yourself in this, that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh yes, Marion Olson, I'm the great pretender. Adrift in a world of my own. I played the game, but to my real shame, you left me to grieve all alone. Too real, too real is this feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the great pretender, just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. I see I'm wearing my heart like a clown, pretending that you are still around. Deacon Johnson. The great pretender, pretending that the love of his life was still around, only to discover that she was no longer around. We preachers don't know anything about losing. Hallelujah. We're not great pretenders. We just pretenders. I'm sorry. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, you don't have to pretend that you're different from anybody else. God has made us, each one of us, to his own liking. Can I give you a quick test? How many bones are there in the human body? How many know? 206. How many muscles? 656. Sound like somebody was at the 8 o'clock service. What amount of water is in our bodies? 60%. Sister Connie Jackson heard the sermon this morning. Well, I got one more question for you, Sister Jackson. How many heartbeats per minute? How many heartbeats? 72? 60 to 80?
Yes, sir.
Where's Vanessa? How many heartbeats? 60? 60 to 72 to 80 heartbeats per minute. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I got your number. The only difference is our DNA. The only difference is our fingerprint. But God has made us in his own image, in his own likeness. James Weldon Johnson, that great poet, writes in his poem, The Creation, that God had created all the heavens and the earth, and that he had created the cattle of 1,000 hills, that he had created the great rivers. But then he said, I'm lonely still. With all of his creation, he still declares that I'm lonely still. He says, I think I'll make me a man. And down by the riverbed, he scoops up mud, clay, molds it, and then blew into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Each one of us possess some things that the others possess. God is not worried about this body of ours. No matter how tall we are, no matter how short we are, no matter how thin or how fat we are, all of that will not return back to God. What will return back to God is the soul. That's why David said, my soul thirsts, hungers for the Lord. You and I can be ourselves. We do not have to be pretentious. We do not have to be a fake. We do not have to be artificial. Do not have to be holy than thou. Do not have to be hypocritical. We can give our heart, give our soul to God. Give God the real you. In the book, The Applause of Heaven, Max Lucado writes, the heart is the center of the spiritual life. This is why the statement of the heart, the state of the heart, is so critical. What is the state of your heart? When someone barks at you, do you bark back or do you bite your tongue? That depends, your actions depends on the state of your heart. The state of your heart dictates whether you harbor a grudge or give grace, seek pity or seek Christ, drink human misery or taste of God's mercy. David's prayer in Psalm 51, after he had sinned, after he had committed adultery, after he had had Bathsheba as if she was his own wife and had her husband killed, David, after Nathan the prophet had gone into him, shared a short story with him and asked him, "What would you do? A man has a friend who comes from a far country. He wants to throw a party, a celebration for their friendship. What does he do? He has a flock of sheep, but there's one man with just one little lamb, one ewe. What does he do? He takes the man's one, slays it, sacrifice the man's resource for his own. He leaves his flock alone." The Bible says that Nathan comes to him and says, "What would you do?" He said, "I know what I'd do. I'd kill him." He said to him, "Thou art the man. You took your neighbor's wife. Matter of fact, you took the captain of your army's wife, who was not even an Israelite, who pledged his loyalty to you. You takes his wife and makes her as your own. You are the man." And what does David do? David realized that he has sinned, and sin is transgression of the will and the way in the commandment of God. It is taking your love from God, transferring it to another. It's not always sexual. It can be your action. People who turn from God, who turn from their love of God, commits adultery in his or her heart. It's just not looking upon a woman or a man. It's your attitude about your relationship with God. And so David realized his sin, not only against his neighbor, but his sin against God. And what does David say? "Create within me a clean heart. Renew within me the right spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." I wished I had some Sunday school people here, or some deacons who know the story, or some trustees who could say amen, or some choir members who could praise God with me, or some church folk who just know that God is good and that God is good all the time. When Jesus speaks these words, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," he is speaking of those who love. Pure in heart are those who love, and who love God, and who love their fellow person. There are those who do not pretend to be something that they are not. They are those who do not disguise who they really are. And so there are those who do not separate themselves from God by seeking to separate themselves from everybody. Pretending is to be something, pretending to be something or somebody that we are not. As people of God, we are the children of the Almighty. We are blessed to be a blessing. If God is ordering your steps, do not take the control. There are times when we try to take the control. But can I help you here? You cannot add one stature to your height by taking the controls from God. So as people of God, there's no need of us pretending. For when we pretend, we are slowing down the process of God getting our blessings to us. Pretending is the asset, and it's a time for the devil to step in. Cause when you and others have a special place in order for God, and God is slow showing up, that's when the devil steps in and takes us to a level beyond or lower than God would have us to go. And so, my brothers and sisters, I say to us today that there is no need of pretending. We can be ourselves. We can have purity in our heart. When we look at our heart, the pure in heart are those who love. They give themselves completely to God in service to God and to humankind. They are sincere in their service. They are the pure in heart. They love. And we look at the word love, and we've shared this with you before. There are at least four words for the word love in the Greek language. The first one we look at is philios, which is brotherly love. Can I help us? That love that we have, that we call brotherly love, where we say in our fraternities, in our sororities, we will not stand for one brother or for one sister to fall or take a step back. Guess what? Sometimes we get in front of them and push them back and say, I love you. I'm tired of folk who kiss on other folk and tell them how much they love them and then turn around and lie on them. Oh, y'all don't like this kind of preaching. But let me tell you, I'm sick and tired of folk who pat you on the back and then take a knife and stab you in the back. I don't need that kind of love. I need the love that when I'm going through a problem, you're saying, I'm with you. You're saying, I'm walking with you. I understand your problem. I don't need folk who walk beside me and then step in front of me. And I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about you as well. You know folk who dig ditches for you. But thanks be to God that the ditch that they dig, sometimes they fall in it. Because God is the God who sees all. I need folk. You need folk who love you when you're good and when you're bad. We need folk who love us when we're in trouble and when we're out of trouble, when we're sorrowful and when we're joyful. We need not just philios. But then there is that other Greek word, eros. It is in the arena of eros, in the arena of love, that we get the sexual gratification. It is out of that word eros that we get the word erotic. But let me help you something. Let me help those of us who go around pretending to be fathers. I don't understand a guy who can have 7 children by 7 different women and can't feed one. Oh, y'all walking with me. I don't understand how we can say we're a man and don't have a job. And our children are hungry and they're naked and they don't have shelter. And we walk around talking about, I need to make me another baby. You need to stop and take care of that baby that you got. Be a dad to that child. Be a dad to that child. Be a father to that child.
All right, Pastor.
If you got seven, that means you ought to work seven times harder to feed your child. I know I ain't getting many amens from my men, but ladies, you ought to be standing on your feet, clapping your hands. How can you say you're a father just because you, just because somebody said, baby, I love you, and let you do some things? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Drop the seed, and now seed is grown. Seed wants to go to college, and you talking about I didn't go to college. I made it. You ain't made. You haven't made anything until you can help raise up a nation, help raise children who will be responsible, who will be respectful, who will honor the name of God. I like what Joshua said. When Israel had come out of slavery and God had fed them manna from on high, had given them water, and when the water was bitter, threw some sugar in it through a tree, and they drank and they ate. And then when times got hard, they wanted to go back. But I like what the man of God said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't understand men who will not bring their wives and their children to church. Send them. God comes. And when he comes back, he's going to stop first at Second Baptist. He's going to collect a lot of women. And women go say, well, can I go home and get my husband? Say, no, that was the woman at the well that I told get your husband. But I'm telling you, come on with me. I don't know about you, but when Jackie goes to heaven, I want to go too. I don't want to be at home waiting for her to come back home and fix a meal for me. Y'all mad, that's all right. I got five more minutes. Got five more minutes. No, I got 10 more minutes. And so you have that word sergos, which deals with parental love. Can I tell you something? A mother loves a child all the time. Child can be mischievous. And mother said, that's all right. I'm going to discipline. She's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. A mother loves a child all the time. A daddy loves a child some other time. You get in trouble, your mother may say, I'm not coming to visit you in jail. But if you stay there long enough, she'll show up. And daddy will never come to visit you. And when you get out, he'll put his arms around you and tell you, I love you, baby. I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm glad you're home. But he doesn't have a home to take you to, because he is a boll weaver. Yeah. He plants his hat. Wherever he plants his hat, that's his home. But can I help you here? God has made us to be men. He's made us to be fathers. He's given us the honor of being a father. And then there's that other Greek word, agape.